Well, you better get settled. Phil, but me, but that's quite a long story. I was born a Roman Catholic, and I was a fervent Catholic. I was altar boy from my 8th till my 14th year, serving the priest at the altar daily. And I could touch the golden doors of the tabernacle. I know my Lord Jesus was behind these golden doors, but only the priest could open them. And until my 14th year, I faithfully served God at the altar. And that's my intention to become a priest and be a missionary. I gladly shed my blood for the Lord. But then I began to go to the library. And there I learned so many facts, contrary to the teachings I had been absorbing, that I had to give up my beloved religion. And at the home, they were all strictly Catholic. Every night at 6 o'clock, the whole family, servants and all, went on their knees to pray the rosary. But that became such a habit, I could do part of my homework while answering the prayers. Sometimes the teens, they could translate and still answer the prayers. And so it was not real. I gave up my belief not only in the church, but I began to doubt the existence of God Himself. Not denying God, I couldn't. How could I deny God? I did not believe that the God I always had worshipped was real. I considered God as a great power, bigger than the wind, for I could feel the wind, bigger than gravitation. I also could feel gravitation, bigger than lightning. A greater power, for the spark of light I found was not spontaneous, just had to be created. And all the other forces had to be created, they did not come of themselves. So that greater power was considered God, just a force. I could not define that force, I cannot define lightning either. I know the manifestations of all that, but I could not describe them. I was between 16 and 17 years old. I heard other people say they knew God. How do you know God? How come that I don't know Him? Does God play favorites? Does the Father play favorites with His children? That you know Him and I don't? You say you do the will of God. I would do the will of God if I know Him, not for fear of hell or for gain of heaven. That would be striking bargain. I would do God's will like a child does the will of his father, out of love for creation. But I don't know Him. And so I struggled on. I did not want to stay home, be a black sheep among all the lily white sheep. For I would not lie, but pretend. So I found a trade. I must find a trade that will not displace my family, not become a workman, walk around in workman's clothes. So I became a pastry baker. That was rather okay. You must forget that in Europe, class distinction at that time was very strict. In that job, I lived in with the family, so I did not have to stay home, although I was in the same hometown. And in that family, that was a Protestant family, the Bible was read every afternoon at dinner time with the whole family present. A chapter was read every afternoon of the Bible, and I became acquainted with the Bible. For the Bible was a forbidden book in Catholic homes. The average Catholic was not considered able to interpret the Bible, only the priest was able to interpret the Bible, not the average person. I was never allowed to play with Protestant boys, but they had Bibles in their home, and they might be contaminated. Well, I was 2 years in the family, and I learned all about the Bible, must be read twice through. Still, that did not help me. And for 63 years, I lived on like that. Until I became blind. And I had to go to a hospital, Bellevue. But that was a hospital that did not keep long-term patients. I was sent to a state hospital, Central Islip. This is also a hospital mainly for mentally unbalanced people, the mental hospital it was called. That was a state hospital. There I was examined if an operation could cure my blindness, and it was found that that wasn't possible. After about 2 months observation, I was declared incurable. Now what to do with me? I was blind, they could not set me out the door and say, now go your way. I had no place to go. I forgot to tell you that I had joined the Merchant Marine in these 63 years, and so I had gone to America, and I was already 30 years here in America when blindness took me. I had acquaintances, but not close friends, who would take me in. I had been married, but my wife and child had died in childbirth, both of them. I had not remarried, I remained single. And so, finally, a great institution opened up. They came to the hospital to see if any of the 14,000 patients there was eligible to enter that home. One had to be in perfect health, and of course, mentally as well. I was the only one of the 400 blind people selected to go to this home. And I stayed there for 2 years and 3 months. But I could not adjust myself to group living, and I wanted to be in a home where I could live my hour life. Like we all go walking, and we all do this, we all do that. I had already been independent, and now that was difficult. I came to what I thought was a rest home, but it turned out to be a nursing home. And for 3 years, I was in that nursing home, where they stated right from the beginning that I considered myself not a patient, just a resident. I would not have a medical record, I would not be attended by a doctor, etc. And that already was contrary to the institution. Always I was in a little difficulty with these people. A nursing home. And so the proprietor wanted to get rid of me after 3 years. It was the 31st of May, 1963. No, 1966. I had been 3 years in that home. At the 6 o'clock after supper, and I heard there was a doubleheader up on the baseball team, the Yankees and some other team, and I was going to listen to that. I laid on top of my bed in my pajamas, listened to the ball game, when a knock on the door caught my attention. And there was a doctor. He said, "How are you?" He said, "I feel fine. What is it you want, doctor? You know I'm not your patient." "Well," he said, "I just want to know how you are." He said, "I feel just fine. Will you even close the door, please? I'm listening to the ball game." He went away. 15 minutes later, a nurse comes in, the night nurse, with two male attendants. He said, "What is all this? I'm listening to the ball game. I don't want no disturbance. I want no nurse. I didn't ask for anything. I came to give you an injection," he said. "An injection? What for?" "To calm you down," he said. "I said, get out of here. I don't need to calm him down. I'm listening to the ball game. What's the matter with you?" But these men get a hold of me. They gave me an injection. And they put a straitjacket on me. Tied my arms behind me, and I was rushed out the back way to that mental hospital. That drug began to work, and I was so excited. I didn't know what to do. What was the matter? In my pajamas, I sat in the car, only my cane. That's all I had. I came to the hospital, they arrested me, and they put me to bed, and there I lay in my agony. Abandoned, I felt, up by everybody. How would my friends know I was there? I was in such agony in the bed, with the gates all up, I couldn't even climb out. I was in the mental hospital. In my agony, I did not know which way to turn. How was I, a sane person in a mental hospital, doors all locked behind me, and in the agony I cried out that if there is a God, then now help me. I cried out. And then came God. I said, "God help me." I became calm and began to recognize then that the rise of God. Then I knew that I was a God. For I felt calm. And all that agony, all of a sudden, a peace came over me I had never known. In all these 63 years, always doubting, always not knowing which was which, now I knew. I had rest. I slept good that night, and in the morning, I was allowed to walk the long corridor, and somebody called my name. I said, "Who is this?" "I'm the doctor," he said, "who examined you several years ago. I saw your name on the list of incoming patients, and I wondered how you came here." I said, "Doctor, I was real over here. Come in my office and tell me all about it." I told him all that had accused me, that that woman had railroaded me in that mental hospital out of anger to get rid of me, Remember, that was at 6 o'clock on the 31st of May. 6 more hours and a new month would begin. And she would have to keep me for another month. She was clever. Yes, she said, I understand. But wait till Medicare comes in, Mr. Van Dyke. Yes, it would be so. Now, I want you to sign this paper. You don't have to. So, but just a signifier, doctor. He said, you trust me. So, absolutely. Have I ever lied to you? No, I said. I said, I have never lied to you, doctor. I know it. He said, that's why I want you to sign this paper. It signifies that you have committed yourself. And now you can go out in 2 months. And you have the freedom of the place. You are not my patient, he said. You are my guest. God was working for me now. God was working. How I felt that. You understand? You can go out for 10 days, he said. Or 5 days, or 3 days, as many as you want. Just tell me or let me know when you come back. In these 2 months, I was more out of the hospital than in. I had learned several things of a Christian church that had been newly founded in West Iceland, or in, that was Brentford, in Brentford. And there were 10 people that brought us to a day center. And I often talk with these ladies, and they know that they know quite a bit about the Bible, but I had learned plenty of the Bible, and I could answer many of the questions she asked me. And so these ladies came and visited me. The doctor had notified these ladies, for they know from the day center that these ladies came there. And that's the way they learned that I was in the hospital. God was working in such wonderful ways that I was comforted there. And I spent days and nights up in their homes, in different homes. Then, when the 2 months was up, one of these ladies secured a place for me in a rest home, where I've been for the last 8 years. In the meantime, I came to their home and became acquainted with their religion. In the 3 years that I was in this home, these ladies brought us to the day center, and sometimes one of the ladies asked the four of us bright people, wouldn't you like to come to our church on some Sunday? I'll see that you're back home in time for dinner. And we all said, well, yes, that would be nice. But then I was troubled. That was before my conversion. I was troubled. Her name was Kay Wells. And the whole day it troubled me. I think you have told the lady that you will go to her church. And you want nothing to do with that person. You don't believe in anything. You go there on a false flag. The people there will think that you come to worship. And you are lying to these people. I could not do that. The whole day in the day center I was troubled. On the way home, I was crying, and the others, they were laughing, they had had a good day. And Kay asked me, how come home and you should cry? I said, Kay, I'm in trouble. I'll tell you when we come home what it's about. Okay, she said. We came home, she brought the others to the different room. She came to me, well, home, what's the matter? I said, I promised you that I would come to your church, but I cannot do so. I don't believe in any of these things, and I cannot go on the false flag day. I cannot do what I will not lie to them, and so I cannot go. So she said, I'm sorry, but I appreciate your feelings. If that's the way you feel, I will not support you. Okay. So that was my feeling before my conversion. I would not lie to them. Or pretend. I never pretended. And that's why my conversion was real. After that, I have been so close to God. I attended church. Oh, then, yes. After I came to that home, I still visited the different friends they had made. And one Sunday, when she called for me, I spent the day with them. And I asked her husband, said, do we need any more instruction? He said, no, Herman, you don't need any more instruction. What is it? You want to be baptized? He said, yes, that's what it was going to ask. Now, he said, anytime. And that was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. In the meantime, the lady had already been calling up several friends. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was baptized. And I became a Christian. And that is the story of my conversion. I have never missed any service in the church or in the Bible classes they held. And I've loved the Lord ever since. And that is a wonderful story that I have to tell. I hope it will be a blessing to you, as it has been to me.